Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendez. On this week's show, we'll be looking back at yesterday's 2-2 draw with Cambridge at the Valley. The Addicts leading by 2-0 going into the last 2 minutes of normal time, but we found a way to throw away what seemed a really comfortable position and 2 points as well. Cambridge coming away with the draw on Neil Harris's first game in charge. Joining me to talk about that game, first up top, it's the First Lady of Charlton Live, Sue Gallop. How you doing, Sue, this morning?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
We'll talk about yesterday, so
I'll leave it there. Yeah, I think your demeanour there sums it up quite nicely already. And bottom of the screen there, I don't know how his demeanour is going to be. Tom Wallin, how are you, Tom?
Yeah, not great, I don't think. Yeah, looking forward to this, kind of. Bit of therapy.
Sunday morning, 10 a.m, therapy for all of us. That's why we're here every week. So on today's show, then, as I said, we'll look back at the game. We'll hear the goals from Charlton TV shortly. We'll hear Michael Appleton's interview afterwards as well. Spoke to him about a few little subjects, which we'll hear. We want to hear from you guys as well. Morning to everyone who's joining us in the chat. All hell let loose, first one in there saying, morning, all, every cloud is a silver lining, they say. So hopefully all hell let loose will be letting us know what that is shortly. Also in there, Andrew, Bob's in there, Michael, Dudley, Keith, the Mankind Initiatives in there, Sam's in there as well. Let us know what you made of yesterday's game in the comment section there. We've got a couple of tweets and emails to get to as well. Later on in the show, we have got a guest fan. Paddy Pammant's going to join us later on, tell us what he made of yesterday's game, the season as a whole, where he thinks we're going as a club, all that sort of stuff. So, Sue, just before we hear the goals from yesterday's game, how'd you sum that one up? We were so off the pace in the first half. Second half, second half FC at it again. We scored two excellent goals, felt really comfortable, and then it all fell apart.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Louis. You've answered the question. It was so bizarre. Like, I actually, like, obviously in our little group chat, we talk quite a lot to each other during the games, don't we? And I kind of said, I feel like I'm watching a kids' school football team that are just kind of running around and not really knowing what they're doing. They just look really lost. And obviously, whatever Mickey said at halftime did the job for a bit. And then we just fall apart again. And I can't get my head around it, because actually we've got some very, very good players. But they play like a team of strangers. Well, it's not even a team, is it? It just feels like it's a group of strangers on a pitch. I don't know what else to say. It's just very, very weird.
And it was so frustrating with the way the game ended. Let's have a listen to the highlights. When we come back, we'll get Tom's views on the game as well. So, yeah, well done to Greg, who hosted on Charlton TV yesterday for the first time and did a very good job by all accounts. I heard bits of it and it looked really good. But the commentary highlights are from Steve Brown and Terry Smith.
Trophy, it's a good foot in from Hector. And he sends the ball down the line, asking Carnu to chase it. And Daniel Carnu does exactly that. Up against Morrison, cuts back inside, Daniel Carnu into the penalty area, out on his right foot again, drills the ball across, Alfie May with the finish! Alfie May on hand to benefit from outstanding work from Daniel Carnu, and Charlton had the lead 6.5 minutes into this second half.
Yeah, and for all the people that say he shouldn't be out on the right, His first five games are spent down the centre of the pitch for us. At the start of the season, didn't score a single goal. Wherever you play Alfie, whether it's off the striker, whether it's off coming off the right, he finds a way to get opportunity.
Tackle from Hector to win the ball back for Charlton. Fraser now looking for Blackett Taylor on the left-hand side. Blackett Taylor will pick it up, running at Bennett. Still running at Bennett, cuts it on his left foot cross. Campbell with a header! Jim Campbell! Bags Tong's second. Glorious cross from Blackett Taylor to pick him out. And the Aggies take a two-goal lead here.
Yeah, and it's the switch of play that's crucial, Tell, because it allows Blackett Taylor to have the 1v1 against Bennett. It's an outrageous amount of stepovers. I lost count after about the fifth one. And I thought Bennett did really well to keep his eye on the ball and stay on his feet. But right at the death, Blackett Taylor shifts the ball half a yard down to the byline. And that delivery, you will not see many better leaves than that. It's begging to be attacked. And this time, we had a midfielder arrive in centre of the six-yard box. Brilliantly attacked by Chem Campbell. Keeper's got no chance.
Away for a corner. 3.5 minutes of normal time remaining. Coming in from the Cambridge right-hand side. Into the box. It's a header coming in. It's a goal. A headmate with it. Met it from the cross. Created his own space. Met the cross on the full. And Cambridge have a goal back.
Yeah. So kind of what I've been saying. You know what? We've done okay in terms of particularly second half where we've been in the right place at the right time. And that's the reason I would have been hell-bent on keeping a clean sheet, because now you've got a little bit of a hectic finish. It's just a driven ball into the middle of the six-yard box. It's inexplicable that's a free header. I can't... Just caught underneath it, I guess, if you're Terrell Thomas. Got stuck, got planted, couldn't get up. Give the centre forward a bit of credit. He was on the move, got across his man and won it. But it's first contact again and a free header.
With a good foot in. Fraser goes to ground. Referee says nothing, and it's Lancaster who's taken out on the edge of the area. No, inside the area. And Cambridge have a penalty. It was Fraser, I think, who put his foot out. The referee's read that as taken out Lancaster. We'll see it again here. Got past Hector. No, it's Eden, in fact, I beg his pardon. And it's not even, I think it's on the, well, it depends if it's on the line, I guess it's a penalty. Difficult to tell from that angle. Steps forward ahead of me. Slots it home. With Maynard Brewer going the opposite direction. And it's all square here. In what is the fifth minute of added time.
There we go, the commentary highlights from Charlton TV from yesterday. All hell let loose has told us what the silver lining is. It says we won't have to pay a promotion bonus this season. So there's a few money in the bank there for us, Tom, which is good news. But yeah, hugely frustrating. Get the elephant in the room out of the way first. The penalty was outside the penalty area. So that's a difficult one to take, Tom, considering no matter how the game had gone, that's where we got ourselves to with a 2-1 lead in the last minute, and that is a bit frustrating that it worked out like that.
Yeah, and I guess it would be very easy to come on the show today and use that as an excuse. It shouldn't have been a penalty, probably, if it was outside the box, but I don't want to do that. I want to blame them. I want to criticise them, because that's nowhere near good enough. You can't be 2-0 up at home, fairly comfortable, they've not really had a sniff, and throw it away like that at the end. It's not acceptable. We were just talking just before the show, weren't we, about what's going to happen with the likes of Dobson and Corey and contracts and stuff. And I just look at that team and I just think, if you're Alfie May, you're that good, you're scoring those sorts of goals, it must be so frustrating to then go home every week and not have won the game. And I know we haven't lost it. I'd spent a lot of last night having to convince myself that we hadn't lost, because it properly felt like a loss. But people like that, like when it comes to the summer or January, people like him and George Dobson and Corey, they don't deserve this. Like, they're good footballers. I know Corey's been a bit off recently, but particularly Dobbo and May. Like, they don't, if they went, fair play to them. Like, I'm so sick of it, basically. I'm so fed up of us throwing games away, because as Sue said, I think there's a promotion squad in there just about scraping it. and we just should be better than this. And a game like yesterday is the reason we're probably not going to make it, because that was just a nailed on 3 points based on that second half performance. And then in the last 10 minutes, we've just gone and thrown it away and cost ourselves another 2 points. And yeah, I don't really know what more to say. I'm just properly fed up of this team. And I look around them, and apart from those players I mentioned, there's no one I like. There's no one I enjoy watching. There's no one who I think puts a proper shift in. There's no one who digs deep when they really need to. And I don't know, maybe I'm being over the top because yesterday's game just really rattled me, but I'm just fed up of them, properly fed up of them. And I don't know where we go from here, really, without a massive change in January once again. And I just can't see us doing that either. So, tough day.
Yeah, I mean, an interesting point you said about you feel there's a promotion squad in there. I mean, I feel the opposite of that. You know, I think over the last 3 or 4 seasons, we've proven how many times we changed the squad that we haven't got anywhere near enough, whether it's depth in quality or depth in numbers. I think it's more depth in quality this year, you know, and Michael Appleton's spoken a lot about the profile of the squad, you know, the young players. That was a concern with the business that was done in January. I mean, there were so many things that were odd about yesterday, Sue. I mean, obviously the amount of changes we had to make, some of them injuries, but you know, the fact that Chem Campbell's not been involved at all recently and all of a sudden comes in and starts, and I thought did quite well actually, to be fair to him. One bone of contention. I mean, the whole collapse came from the fact that we didn't defend a set piece. Now, I asked Michael about, you know, I feel like we've had trouble defending set pieces this season, and the XG stats suggest that. So I said to Michael, you know, it's been a continual problem. Michael's sort of come back and says he doesn't think it's a problem. We've only conceded 2, although, I mean, we've conceded 5, but only 2 of them are under him. So I think the idea is he feels like he's set it in the right direction, but obviously, even if he has, that was a massive step backwards yesterday with that free header, which was frustrating because defensively yesterday, on the whole, we were all right. It was only really set pieces in the first half. You know, Heck was man of the match, deservedly. I thought Terrell Thomas had a decent enough game until maybe he was underneath the set piece, along with, I think it was Chem, who didn't track the runner for the goal. But yeah, we can't make mistakes like that. And also we can't crumble like we do when we concede goals. That has been a problem at times this season and last season and probably the season before as well.
Yeah, I think as well, like just sort of going back in my head, it's like when they scored that first goal. And yeah, like you say, you can't defend the defending in that incident. But it was good to see Big Heck and Tay get have a good game. But I feel like as well, the crowd feed off of that. So like when they scored that first, the crowd, I mean, we were buzzing after that second goal. There was a really great atmosphere. And then it kind of started to get a bit subdued because I think the nerves were already settling in for the fans. We were already kind of thinking, oh God, it's going to be a matter of time. They scored that first and it was like straight away our crowd were like getting on there. I mean, they got booed off at half time. So I think that energy that was in the stadium after that first goal just dropped dramatically. And I think, yeah, it wasn't a penalty. We've all seen the picture and the video. It was 100% not a penalty. But like Tom says, you can't make that excuse because actually that player shouldn't have got in that position in the first place. So it's just trying to, like, how much are you working on that stuff day in, day out in training? How does it happen? I can't get it right in my head that these are really, really sloppy mistakes that we're making. You can't blame the young players. You absolutely can't because we haven't got any option but to play them at the moment. But it's not even the younger ones that are necessarily making the mistakes. It's the probably the more experienced professionals. Mm-hmm. Yes, Chris, we are sad.
Yeah, Chris says in the chat, you three all look so sad. Well, we were upset about yesterday's the way the game ended yesterday. I mean, he did say further up. I mean, it wasn't a pen. So how have we thrown it away? We would have won 2-1, but for the incompetent officials, that's the nuts and bolts of it. But, you know, we also wouldn't have thrown it away if it weren't for the incompetent set-piece defending. These are all the things that add up into a game. You know, it's easy when you get to the last minute to pinpoint one moment, but obviously over the course of the 90 minutes, did we do enough to win the game? Probably not, Tom. If you look in that first half, you know, we were clearly second best, booed off the field of play. Cambridge didn't offer much, but again, it was from set pieces, deep crosses, headers. They had one cleared off the line, one where they played it short in towards the near post, which I think Tash in our chat pointed out was very similar to the goal that Bolton scored at the Valley at that exact same end of the ground as well. And sure, we had our spell in the second half, which we often do. Dan Carney made a big difference when he came on. But yeah, over the course of the game, I think a draw is probably fair just because of the way the balance of play was.
Totally. Yeah, I'm not for one moment denying that. And that's, again, not acceptable. You look at where they are in the league. They'd lost their three last games. As the bloke said on Thursday's pod, you know, Mark Bonner is like a Cambridge born and bred. So they've had to make a tough decision there. And I know people talk about the new manager bounce and all of that. I don't even think it was that. I think that's a team that's probably hurting when they come into yesterday. But they didn't give up. You know, they weren't very good in the first half either, as you say. That first half was just dreadful. But to go get sucker punched, you know, 10, 15 minutes into the second half and find yourself 2-0 down away from home against a relatively big team at this level, a team that do well in the second half, a team that have a good home record as we do, they never gave up. They never gave up. And as you say, people like Hector and Thomas having good games. And then that bloke has the freedom of the Jimmy C then to just waltz through our box and score a header. So fair play to them. They deserved the point, as you say. We didn't deserve any more than that. And yeah, it's just the same old story, isn't it? I don't know. Like I said earlier, I just don't know where we go from here. When you look at our goals scored, we're up there. When you look at our goals conceded, we're probably up there with some of the biggest or conceded some of the biggest amount of goals. That's why we're mid-table. And I say there's a promotion squad in there. I feel like there's enough players in there that should be able to get us out of this league. I agree with you. I think, I don't know whether, once I've calmed down a little bit from yesterday's game, whether yesterday was the tipping point for me to say, actually, maybe we're not going to make it. But I just feel like they should be better. They should be better than this. People like Hector and Thomas should be putting that sort of performance in regularly. People like Chem Campbell, I appreciate, hasn't had his chance, looked okay yesterday. So people like him and Louis Watson, are they going to get some game time now, or has Apple's fallen out with them? Like I see somebody mentioning, like, there's a lot going on with this squad, and I just don't really know what the answer is at this stage. I just can't see our owners doing enough in January to pull us out of it, sadly, but that's what we need. And yeah, we absolutely deserve to draw the game yesterday at best. And if you're drawing a home game to a team that are down in the bottom and have just sat their manager and lost three in a row, that kind of says all you need to say about this side, really.
Bob saying it was a disappointing game. On to the next one. Dudley saying, morning all, we're just about where we were at this stage last year, or are we arguably worse? I mean, purely on a points per points basis, after this amount of games last season, 19 games, so we have 27 this season, we had 24 last season. So if you go back two games, we were on exactly the same amount of points, 23, which was after the Carlisle draw. And then obviously, we beat Cheltenham and we picked up a point yesterday. In the next three or four games at this point last season, we only got one point out of maybe three or four games. So, we're pretty much exactly where we were last season with a couple of extra points. And obviously, 9 points outside the playoffs, which is quite a difficult position to come back from even at this stage of the season. It's still doable, like, as in if you have a flying squad in January. But, you know, whether it's going to be the case. And don't forget, that's, you know, we're looking at another four or five games before the end of the calendar year to get through with this squad that's unfortunately picked up more injuries now. The Mankind Initiative says we were lucky to get a draw, second best. I saw someone have noticed that Corey was ignored apart from by Eden after he set up the second. I mean, I don't know if we are reading too much into that, because Corey was on the left wing, sent the crossover. Chem, who's hardly played, scored a great header. So a lot of the players went to Chem, probably congratulating someone who's not had a great time of it. And Corey just stayed on the left wing. He didn't chase him. But, you know, don't forget, it's only 2-3 weeks ago, was at Carlisle scoring a goal and getting mobbed by his teammates in front of the away end. So I don't know if maybe we're reading too much into that, but we'll see. All Hell Let Loose says, is Appleton really better than Dino? Both got into problems when having to use a lot of youth. I mean, this is what I think it was Rachel who tweeted into the show on Thursday, so who said, you know, it'd be interesting to see now how Michael Appleton gets on without those reinforcements he had at the start of his tenure, which Dean didn't have at the start of the season, for, you know, strikers out. Obviously now he's got a defender in Lloyd Jones out, that he's going to be a big miss for us. I mean, it's quite notable that the second we lose a few players, and we're in similar positions, although I think Michael's going to say he feels like we were, you know, we've improved in some sections. I mean, what have you seen as the differences between the two now that the backs are sort of against the wall a little bit in terms of how the squad's falling at this moment?
Yeah, I guess it's tricky, isn't it? Because if you've not got a consistent starting 11, which we haven't really, have we, since the beginning of the season, so it's difficult to judge a manager, I feel, when you haven't got your full strength squad available to you. But at the same time, you need to play to your strengths. And I guess it's really hard. Like, I know we've talked about it quite a lot, even like earlier in the season when we were saying, like, yeah, some of these younger players are probably good enough, but not every week, Tuesday, Saturday. Like, it's too much. Actually, was talking to some of my friends after the game about this, because we had that whole discussion about injuries again. And I actually said, I feel like now a lot of young players are playing too much football at a younger age. So if they're in the academies, that's going to have a strain on the body. And I know, like we all talked about years ago, that Michael Owen raised the thing about the shin splints because he played too much football too young. And I think now, like, a lot of people are worried about, we always have these injury problems. Like, a lot of clubs have that issue. Look at Tottenham. They've got a horrendous injury list at the moment. But I think the pressure on younger players now is a lot more than it used to be. And they're not necessarily able to play with that freedom and lack of fear that we'd seen in the past. And I think it is. It's a lot of pressure for young minds and bodies. But again, we don't have any other options. So I think we're banging on about the January transfer window probably since September. I think that's how we're going to judge our new ownership in that window, what they bring in.
Yeah, I mean, when we hear Michael's interview in a few moments' time, we'll have a listen to what he says right at the end about the transfer window. And obviously, you know, he references there's work to do, we'll put it that way. But we'll hear what he says and we'll talk about it afterwards, because it's reasonably interesting. Turkish is saying a lot of fans hating on other fans because they think we're entitled for being upset after not beating Cambridge. However, I don't think it's too much to ask for the club to at least be fighting for a playoff spot in League One. Yeah, and I'm with Turkish here. You know, I think, like, we can't continue going through the same thing every season with the promise of jam tomorrow, and then fans wonder why other fans get upset when the jam never arrives. But, you know, it's internal fighting between fans. It's just, you know, it's just noise, really. It's not the reason where we are. But yeah, Turkish is right. I think people should be entitled to be a bit annoyed that we're at our lowest point ever on the field of play. You know, ever, literally ever. I mean, that's, at some point, you know, some people have to look around and see that's why people are upset, because this is the worst it's ever been. And also, the fact that the longer it stays the worst it's ever been, the more damage it's going to do to the club in the long run. You know, again, attendances are a bugbear, because it's, you know, people think that when others get a little bit snotty about the fact that there's not many people there, they're just moaning for the sake of it. They're moaning for it because it's a massive, important thing for the club. And if we don't have big gates coming through, and the longer we stay in League One mid-table in 10th, as all hell let loose, which is probably right at this moment in time, the lower the crowds are going to be, you know, and that's a concern, because it does affect the future of the club. Dean says the first 10 minutes of the second half only papered over the cracks of how poor we are. Michael's saying, why can't we ever match the opposition's work rate? We are the home team. When we go away, our backs are against the wall. When we're at home, our backs seem to be against the wall as well. Sam said he was pleased to see Chem get a start and also score. I hope Appleton leaves him in the squad for the next few games. What did you make of someone like Chem coming in? We haven't really mentioned someone like Henry Ryler, who got taken off at half time. He was running up and down a bit in the first half, and after about 10 minutes, I thought, yeah, fair play. He's going to try and put himself about, but yeah, he got hooked at a break, and I think Michael admitted it was probably a little bit too soon for him to be starting a league game. But yeah, Chem as well. Tom, what did you make of him?
Yeah, I think on Ryler, that goes back to Sue's point, doesn't it? Like, it's a big game, and yeah, putting him in there and putting him in the firing line. I know they've got the injuries, but yeah, a bit unfair on him. So I'm not going to criticise him at all. I thought Chem was okay. Obviously got his goal, which hopefully will do him the world of good. But as the comments are saying, is he going to get another game? Hopefully, because of injuries, he might be forced into it. But yeah, I don't really get why he hasn't had a lot of game time. I think he played the Cray Valley, didn't he? Was it the home one? Didn't blow me away there. And the little glimpses I've seen, there's clearly a good player in there, like we're saying about a few of the squad, but maybe not done it consistently, or maybe just not had the opportunity. But I thought he did okay yesterday, like I say. But yeah, again, didn't blow me away. But if he gets a little run in the side now, that could be somebody that kicks on and has a bit of an impact on this team, potentially.
Yeah. So I'm just catching up with the chat, and I just saw earlier Dean's invited Tom down the pub to cheer himself up. So yeah, you're more than welcome, Tom. If you need to take an early exit and to go down to Boozer, I might come and join you, actually. Michael says we're terrible at set pieces, both attacking and defending. And something else, you know, a positive from yesterday, Dan, obviously back in the side, off the bench, made a big difference at halftime. Alfie being pushed out wide, probably better for him. You know, we've seen Alfie playing at nine, and Michael did warn he thinks he wouldn't be as effective there, and that turned out to be the case. But yeah, Dan's hold-up play for that first goal was particularly impressive, and Alfie's got now 19 for the season. Sky Bet tweeted an update on his battle with Erling Haaland earlier, but they got it wrong. So Alfie's on 30, Erling's on 29, not 31, which is what Sky Bet have put. But yeah, so he's leading him at least, Sue. So yeah, that was a nice moment and a good finish. And like I say, you got to praise that hold-up play from Dan Carney there.
Yeah, I mean, he did make such a difference. And even like when we started sort of wobbling again, he still, like, that energy, like, he is so good. But Alfie, oh my God, like, again, like, you look at him and you think, like, please stop publicising how good he is, because we're going to lose him. But, yeah, it's, I don't know, like, yeah, Dan was definitely a positive out of yesterday, having him back, and hopefully he doesn't start to get disillusioned, that he can keep that energy and maybe pass that energy on to other players that need a bit of a boost. I just feel for some of them in the minute.
Yeah. I mean, the Mankind Initiative saying, I have a real fear a championship club will come in for Alfie. Michael, when I pointed out that we're at our lowest point, he says lowest point so far. Yeah, I mean, Simon's asking, is there a thought as to whether Michael Appleton is an upgrade on Dean Holden? We sort of half mentioned it earlier. When he was interviewed by The Job, he must have convinced the owners he could do a job with the squad we have. Tom, what's your view on the two managers? I mean, just to throw in one more thing, I mean, Kevin's saying you have to give a manager at least two windows. Our track record shows you can't keep changing managers. I haven't seen any major calls for the manager's head yet. He's only been here a couple of months. But yeah, what's your view on the differences between the two gaffers we've had this season?
I think on paper, he's more tactically astute and he's got more experience, and that's about it. I don't think he's the problem. And I said this when Dean got sacked, and obviously Nate had his proper meltdown, and then I came on the show a little bit later and had a similar sort of one. The problem's systemic. It goes back to the point Sue was making earlier. When Chris Powell came in that first time, he said there were people still talking about our Premier League days, and he ripped everything up and started from scratch. And we've never had an opportunity to do that. In the last few seasons, it's the same. We start a season, we started badly, we sack the manager, we bring a new manager in, we don't back him enough. We improve a little bit at the back end of the season when he gets his players in. Then we don't back him in the summer. Then he starts badly. Then he gets sacked. Then another manager comes in. And it just happens over and over and over again. And as a result, we're a mid-table League One side and have been for a few years now. That, unless that systemic problem stops, and whether that's Michael Appleton getting just 2 years to see what he can do, whether that was Dean Holden doing it, whether that was Jacko doing it, I don't think it makes the blindest bit of difference if you don't give him any time. It's not going to make any difference. If Appleton gets a good January, we'll probably pick up at the back end of the season, maybe scrape playoffs, maybe not. But if he starts next season badly, off he goes, and in comes a new one who's then got three or four managers worth of squad again that he's got to work with. So, no, I don't think Michael Appleton is a bad manager. I also don't think he's the answer without being given time. And the same for Dean. But I do think tactically he's maybe got a little bit more about him. But without his own players and without a bigger squad and without some time, he ain't going to do anything. Or he might. He might get lucky, a little bit like Bo did that season. And we got up and he built a good squad and we got us up. But then, look, we had the obviously the COVID year played a part in that. But then he wasn't given any time again. So, yeah, that's how I see it. That's how I saw it when Dean got sacked. And I don't think nothing's changed my mind about that, to be honest.
Yeah, Ben saying the problem always seems to be that we assume because of our history we can just turn up and win when playing lesser opposition. When it comes to us playing better opposition, we tend to show up. Yeah, and I think if the players were to get into that mindset of, oh, you know, we're trying, we'll turn up and we'll be fine, then obviously that is a problem. But I still think the fans can have high expectations for the club. You know, I mean, I used to always say, and now I've thought about it a bit more, you know, we can't have people accepting our fate as a League One side, and you see the odd tweet that makes people think, oh, maybe some people are happy with that. But overall, I think it's clear that people haven't accepted our fate as a League One side, because no one goes. Like, the crowds are so low now, it's because most people don't want to watch it when it's this bad, or when it's this average in League One, which is obviously not the place we need to be. So that's, again, we can moan about, people can moan about us being a bit upset that we're in mid-table League One as much as they want. They can point it towards us as much as they want. The fact is, a lot of people aren't there. So, you know, that is a problem, whether you want to admit it or not. Right, we should hear from Michael Appleton, actually. We need to get him on the show. We've got our guest fan, Paddy's going to join us later on as well. But, I wanted you to listen to Michael's interview with me yesterday. And, we'll hear what he said after the 2-2 draw with Cambridge.
Pretty frustrating end to the game. How did you see that today?
Obviously, clearly frustrated, with what happened towards the end of the game. I have to say, at half time, obviously the way the sort of first half panned out, there was a lot of players looked a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious, struggled with playing with an expectation on them, which is a little bit alarming at half time. Having said that, with the changes that we've had to make over the last sort of couple of weeks, and the players and some of the sort of physical presence that we've got there, that are not actually playing at the minute, wasn't a massive surprise, but I still thought we could have and maybe should have dealt with that a little bit better. Having said that, I thought in the second half we were on the front foot, we were aggressive, passed the ball forward much more, like ourselves. Goal 2-0 up, could have scored another couple. And you think, yeah, okay, well done, good response. But then just the little bits of details have let us down at the end, in terms of, you know, we can't allow a free header from 7 yards out. It's just impossible to, at any level of football, you can't allow that to happen. And then obviously, listen, I'm not going to sort of defend the referee because it's indefendable, you know. It's one of them where, before the lad had even hit the ground, the whistle was in his mouth. He's give the penalty, and it's clearly outside the box. So from that point of view, that was frustrating. But so many sort of mixture of emotions today.
Has the referee explained that decision? Because he seems to be quite far back from it as well, to have made that call.
No, I just told him that he had a shocker. And for me, clearly that's what linesmen are there, aren't they? You know, they're there to try and help the referee and make decisions, but I don't even think he'd give the linesman an opportunity to make a call on it and have his say on it, because the whistle was in his mouth, like I say, before the lad had even hit the floor.
You mentioned, obviously, the set-piece goal before that caused that sort of late collapse. I mean, in the first half, Cambridge had a bit of joy from set-pieces, and it has been a problem, continuing problem for Charlton all season. I mean, how can you improve upon that?
Well, it hasn't, because we've only conceded 2 before today. But obviously, clearly, they had a big, big height advantage today, which we knew was going to be difficult. We knew it was going to be difficult. So obviously, you know, you need your smaller players in the team and sort of less physical players in the team to be a little bit more aggressive and not allow free headers. I think I was pretty sure that there was going to be times and occasions today where we were going to lose headers because obviously the physicality and the height that they had in their team, but it's just making sure it's not a clean header or a free header, and obviously that was the disappointment with the goal.
Dan Carney came on at half-time and really made a big difference.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, we've seen a little bit of that the other night when he come on. What he does, he just gives us a little bit more physicality up there, obviously. You know, like when you play with Alf up top as a nine, you've got to feed him, you've got to play balls down the side. But to do that, you have to have a presence in the game, and we never had that in the first half. So, listen, he played off the line, he got his goal, but obviously DK, yeah, you know, delighted the fact that, one, he's, you know, he looks like he's in a good place, and two, he's contributing.
A lot of people spoke about how commanding Michael Hector was today as well.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great, X, and he needed to be. He needed to be because obviously it wasn't an easy game. Obviously, Neil sort of going in this week changed the dynamics. You know, obviously they got a fantastic win last week against Fleetwood in the cup, so spirits would have been reasonably okay. But obviously, when a new manager walks through the door, you know they're gonna be in decent fettle. But yeah, I think we needed a big performance from Hex today because he's very experienced and he's been ever present pretty much nearly since I've come in through the door, and I thought we got that today off him.
Brought Deji back from Bromley this morning as well, and he came on towards the end. Is that just to try and help see out the game?
Yeah. Obviously, we expected, obviously, in injury time, a lot of balls to come into our box and a lot of crosses. You know, and the lads up top have done their work. So, listen, I think if we wouldn't have conceded the non-penalty, as I'll call it, I think it would have helped us and it would have given us a little bit more stability.
Yeah, Corey went down just before he went off. Was that the reason he came off in the end?
Yeah, he's been struggling with a bit of a quad and a thigh for a while now. We've been managing it as best we possibly can. That's the reason why he never played or wasn't involved on Wednesday. But, yeah, he had a big contribution in the second half, and he was just, yeah, I think he had a strike just before he come off and he felt it a little bit.
And no Lloyd today as well. They said that he's picked up a problem.
Yeah, he's got a thigh issue. He's likely to be out for 2 or 3 weeks, probably more of the 3 weeks. So I think he looks unlikely to be available certainly next week and possibly the week after, but maybe Boxing Day on the 29th.
Obviously, you mentioned that first half performance and the comparison with the second half. How do you ensure that there's more second halves than first halves in the next few weeks while you build up to the January transfer window?
Well, it's very difficult because ultimately I don't play the game from. You can only sort of give them a bit of a structure and give them as much preparation as you possibly can, what the opposition is going to bring. But, you know, we've got sort of players in the team that, you know, struggle with whether it's a 50-50 challenge or an aerial duel just because of the profile of them as a person. So we have to find a different way at times, and I thought we did that in the second half. We found a different way of getting at Cambridge. We were a little bit more forward thinking, went forward a little bit early instead of sort of trying to build. And I thought our switch of the play was important. So I think there's a reality now within the group that when we've come up against a side like Cambridge, we have to switch the ball a lot more quicker than what we did in the first half.
How many players do you reckon you need just finally?
Hard to say. But it certainly won't be one or two, put it that way. There's going to be more than a handful, or I'd expect more than a handful to come through the door. Listen, at the end of the day, if we want to compete at the top end of this league, that has to happen. If not, we'll be where we have been for the last 2 or 3 seasons and just be a mid-table team. And I don't want that. I'm not come here to do that. And I'm sure everyone else is in the same boat. So I think that, you know, January hopefully will be an exciting time for Charlton fans.
Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts, and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured, and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello, fellow addicts. I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, the River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer, It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your match day routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Michael Appleton, after yesterday's draw. Yes, you heard the little discussion about set pieces. Well, he's referencing goals conceded since he's come in. I was referencing all season where we conceded a fair few more. Our XG from set pieces still isn't great. Certainly attacking, but defending, we're in the bottom 10, I think. But yeah, Michael feels like he's improved it to an extent. Obviously, yeah, the conversation about transfers at the end, I thought it was just interesting there. Chris said, fighting talk from Apples there. Vague threat to the owners, RE, the transfer window. It'll be full-blown Ben Garner soon. That's how Chris saw it. Dudley says a handful of players coming in, but it all depends on the quality of the players we get. And then Ben says, hasn't every manager told us they're getting players in and we end up with a handful of late loan deals? Believe it when I see it. And I guess that's probably where I'm sitting at the moment. So, you know, great, we're going to have an exciting transfer window, according to Michael there. But yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, so it's, again, it's that same old, isn't it? But I guess the new ownership, this will be their opportunity to really show us how serious they are about backing Michael. I definitely agree with the comments about not panicking and looking for another manager and all this. I mean, that's just nonsense. Like, you can't keep changing your manager every 6 months, but they need to support him in giving him what he needs. We're seeing it at other clubs where managers are having a tough time. I've seen it in the chat about, obviously, Jacko at Wimbledon had a horrendous second half of last season, but the ownership got behind him and backs him with the players he's needed, and that they're like in the playoff places. So I think you have to listen to your manager and what they need. They're the ones that work with these players on a daily basis. They should be the ones that make the decisions about who comes in. And again, yeah, it's not just about the ability, it's about the mindset and the attitude that you need to get in these players. And I think some of that is, we do struggle with some of the lads we've got at the moment in that mind. It's not just about the ability, the mindset and the attitude towards playing and fighting for that shirt. Because, like, we've all said, haven't we, like, we'd give our right arm to play in that for our team. And some of them just don't look like they're really up for it for whatever reason.
Yeah, if you think we've got fitness injuries now, wait until I'm asked to play in that side. Then we'll have some real problems. Platty sent us a message on Twitter. Said Alfie is not a nine and should never be. He needs a free role and needs to have a target man with him. Hector and Thomas at centre back looked okay today, and he put in brackets, I'm a critic of both, so well done. Corey roasted the right back two or three times, but otherwise looked contrasted and tired. You can't expect to run a game down with four subs, 20 or under. Disappointing game management from Apples. Kanu will be a great player. So finally, the window needs to produce a striker and a defender or two, plus a playmaker in midfield. We haven't really mentioned actually the subs that came on near the end there. Obviously, I asked about Deji coming on there to Michael, but it was, youthful subs. I mean, it's a young bench we had, so if he was going to make subs, they were going to be young players, Tom. But I've seen a couple of people saying, well, maybe you should have just stuck with what we had out there. But then that comes into balancing the fitness of the squad and managing minutes, and you know, are we risking more injuries because we're overpaying players? Like it's an awkward situation. That really does it come down to the fact that we have a young young squad when we sort of delve below the surface?
I think so. Yeah, I think if we go on and we do win that game, I don't think anybody's probably having that conversation. So it's easy in hindsight, but when you look at that bench, like you say, who else could he have brought on? Maybe Louis Watson, I suppose, from a more experienced point of view, but that's offering something different. That's more of an attacking change. So, yeah, you look at Eluere and what a Simway maybe would have been. But that's basically all we had. And it goes back to Sue's point, and Michael said it himself about like Corey being carrying a knock for a little while. These players are tired. These players are struggling a little bit. I don't want to use that as an excuse at all, but the squad is too small. And that's what we're having to deal with. It was only, I think we were laughing about it on the group chat, weren't we? It was only about 4 weeks ago. I was saying, as we come into this period, we need to be careful because we'll start getting injuries. And then three or four of our first team squad have got them literally overnight. And now I feel a little bit guilty, like it's my fault. But that's where we are. I don't really see what else Michael Appleton could have done. And as I say, if we do hold out, which realistically we should have done yesterday, then we're probably not having this conversation. So, yeah, I think it's a circumstance thing. And if he does get some bodies in January, I think we can take the pressure off some of those young players, hopefully, and just give them opportunities from a positive sense, as opposed to having to play them because we haven't got anybody else.
Phil says, dreadful game yesterday. First half was as bad as I can remember. Completely outbattled and weak all over the pitch. The two goals we scored were well worked, but you just knew we were never going to keep a clean sheet, and so it proved. Feel sorry for all those academy players who once again are thrown under the bus. Are we ever going to be good again? Then Phil adds, I've won two tickets for Luton against Man City. So just off there as the show goes to air. So hopefully that'll be a better game to enjoy. So well, at least Phil's got something to look forward to this afternoon. Charlton Exile says it's all just so depressing. A League One club, League One budget, League One managers, League One players as well. Sad, sad, sad. And I mean, that, realistically, that's where we are, and it is hard to take. Paul said on Twitter, the first half was one of the worst I can remember. The halftime switch to bring on Kanu really worked and gave much better shape, and Apples takes the credit for that. But then after two good goals and having control, why did he make all those changes and defend so deep? Gary's asking if anyone can tell him why Ashley Maynard-Brewer wears the mask. Well, it's because he had a fractured eye socket, were you saying, Sue, before? He had a fractured something on his face. So it's just a protective mask. We used to see players wearing that sort of stuff. Keith saying, if we're still mid-table and going nowhere in Jan, who's going to want to come and sign? Who will be any better than what we already have? You need at least to be in the top six to attract better players. I mean, where were we when we signed Bradley Wright Phillips? We were sort of in January, probably vaguely think we're mid-table League One. You know, I think it doesn't mean you can't put stepping stones in place if you've got the wherewithal to do so and the budget to back you, and you've got players you think can improve your side. It's not always as easy in January, people say, but I still think you can make good strides in a January window, Sue.
Sorry, I was reading the comments. At the end of the day, it's like you look at it and you go, right, yeah, we're League One. We've been in League One for too long now. But we are still a big club. I feel like we've got an amazing stadium. We've got a good setup down at the training ground. I think for a player, we potentially could still be attractive. I think where the issue is going to come in, it will be money, wages. We're not competing at that level that we used to because we haven't got the funds to be able to do that. So I think that's where our sticking point is. I don't think you have to, in that respect, sell the club to a player in terms of our history and the work we do in the community and just the way that the whole setup, the fan base, even though, yeah, the crowds have dropped, we still get a decent crowd for League One. So I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is what can the owners offer players to try and convince them to come to us?
Yeah, and well, we'll see how that plays out in January. Our guest fan has not arrived, so we might have our first no show of the season. But we've still got plenty of comments and emails to get to, so we will be fine. Just to have a look at this email that came into the inbox from McSquared. He said, good news, bad news. The good news is we're unlikely to have any relegation worries this season. The bad news is that it's clear the current squad has next to no chance of challenging for the playoffs. Once again yesterday, poor defending let us down and cost us points we can ill afford to squander. And our lack of squad depth means we're now depending far too much on inexperienced kids, especially with our backup experienced players, i.e. Charlie Kirk, failing to impress. With the current squad, we are a mid-table side through and through. We probably need at least half a dozen decent experienced players to change that. It's highly unlikely we will get those in January. Furthermore, there are likely to be a host of championship clubs eyeing up our best players, such as Dobbo, who is shortly going to be out of contract. Groundhog Day is looming yet again. That's from McSquared. One thing we haven't actually mentioned, obviously, with the penalty, when we went through and did our like scores of how good signings have been this season, Tom, I think me and Nath both said we don't really know what we're seeing from Teo yesterday. And obviously, whilst he was unlucky that his challenge was clearly outside the penalty area, It was a bit of a reckless one, wasn't it? And maybe he sort of panicked in that moment. I guess the only saving grace you can give for him is he knew he was outside the penalty area and therefore he thought just give away the free kick rather than let the player beyond him. But it was a poor challenge, and we can't gloss over the fact even though it was outside the penalty area.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the panic is a good way of putting it. I think that they've just scored, obviously, and we're trying to cling on to 3 points. So, yeah, I think he's just been a little bit rash in that moment. As you say, outside the box, so he thinks, OK, I'm going to give a free kick away. But as Chris has just put in the chat there probably wasn't any need to make the challenge at that point. I haven't seen it back, but in my head, it wasn't like he was running directly at goal. It was kind of going away from goal, out towards the right. So, yeah, I don't really know what to make of him. He's not a left back that I think is going to, you know, go down in Charlton history, you know. But I also don't think he's a bad player either. I think he's just one of them functional players that we've got in this side. And like I was saying earlier, I don't know if I said this on air or off air, but there's no one in there. And I was going to ask the guest fan, if he came on, is there anyone he really likes in this side? And I think Eden probably fits in that mould. I don't dislike him. He's a functional player, but I don't love him either. He's not somebody that if he got sold in January, I'd be gutted about. And sadly, I think there's just too many, for me, players like that in this side. So, yeah, I think it would be harsh to put all of yesterday on him, but at the same time, it was a clumsy challenge and one he probably didn't have to make.
Stuart Court, Facts and Stats, has pointed out that we were apparently still top six when we signed Wright Phillips. Obviously, that went on to have a poor second half of that season. So, well researched, Stuart, there. So, yeah, maybe we do need to be in the top six to sign good players. All hell let loose, and we have the ambition to go after Al Hamadi from Wimbledon. Hamadi, I mean, he's scoring a bag full of goals at the moment, Sue, although he started the season ever so slightly slowly. But, I mean, suggestions to me have been perhaps there'd be championship interest for him rather than us. So my assumption is we won't be. But see, I mean, you've seen him play a couple of times actually, haven't you? So, I mean, is he the answer to our problems? I mean, the thing is, goals ain't really been our problem. It's other parts of the pitch that we need to improve upon.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so torn with this one. He is unbelievable, and he's 21 years old. This lad is going to be massive. But speaking from my heart, I want my bestie to get promoted, so they need him to stay there.
I love Jacko, but yeah, I would buy every single one of his players if it meant Charlton went up rather than Wimbledon, yeah, unfortunately.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, it would be amazing to see him in a Charlton shirt, because he is so good. But like you've said, the goal situation isn't the issue. We've got, even with Miles out and Chucks, Alfie's still scoring and Corey's contributing. We've got goals in us. It's just that our main concern is the defensive errors. Mm. And I think as well, like talking about that midfield, I don't think it necessarily really works with George and Scott, it just feels too, is they're not Scott. I don't think we're getting the best out of Scott for what he can do. But sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, sorry. We just got a couple more comments. Anyway, I mean, if we do sign Al Hamadi, and Jacko can run the line with Josh Davison anyway, so it'll be fine. Simon says, interesting comment about a player not having to make the challenge, which you hear many pundits say. Is there any thought about whether a player ever thinks about that in the passion of the game? Well, I guess the point is there, Simon, that we should, because the passion. What one of the bits about being a footballer, and it comes to, it'll come down to maybe discipline when you've been crunched in a challenge, when the ref's given a stupid decision against you, but also discipline in the moment of a game when someone's driving towards the edge of the penalty area, or you're playing a team who you know are good at set pieces, you know not to give away a free kick or something. So that's part of it. That's part of what you have to do. You have to understand the bigger picture and not just be full throttle all the time. You need to know when to make a challenge. Is sort of the way I saw that. Chris is asking what's going on with Terry Taylor, if he's still injured. He is. I think they said new year for him, if I remember rightly, but we'll have to see. There was a comment earlier on as well. Yeah, Kevin says one reason the defence looks vulnerable is that wingers do not support the fullbacks. On losing the ball, they tend to amble back. I mean, is that something that could be improved upon? I mean, Corey's not exactly known for his tracking back on that side. I guess the formation we play as well can sort of leave that shape slightly askew when you want people tracking back to support the fullbacks, Tom.
Yeah, I think that was the only other point I was going to make when we were talking about Eden, was perhaps he felt a little bit exposed in that moment. I still agree he shouldn't have made the tackle and shouldn't have dived in, but maybe he just felt a bit isolated out there. So I think it's a fair point. I think the way we're set up is that Dobbo obviously tracks that back four and does a lot of that work for the wingers. But at the same time, they probably could track back a little bit more. Look, we know what Corey gives us going forward. And so to a certain extent, you're probably prepared to give him a little bit of leeway. But everybody needs to put a shift in. And this goes back to the kind of rant I made right at the start of the podcast. I just don't feel there's enough players in this side. We've talked a lot on a podcast in recent weeks about leaders. I don't necessarily think it's leaders, the point I'm making now. It's more the players prepared to dig in and do the nasty stuff and the hard stuff. I just don't feel like we've got enough of those players in this side. So when you are trying to see out a game like yesterday, that's the sort of reason we're throwing these games away, sadly. So, I think they probably could do a little bit more, but I think that goes for everybody in the side. You know, Scott Fraser, as we were just talking about there, is somebody that we've spoken about a lot as maybe not doing that enough as well. Alfie May probably does, you'd say, in terms of him kind of getting around the pitch. But apart from that, those forward players probably don't do it enough. And as Chris has said there, they kind of leave it to Dobbo because he's so good at it. But he can't do it all on his own, sadly. Close, but not quite all on his own.
Yeah, as Sam's saying, if I was Appleton, I would ask May who was his best players he worked with at Cheltenham or who causes him problems to try and play on. I mean, yeah, obviously the scouting network will be out there. Hopefully our scouting network extends beyond asking Alfie who his mates are. But if there's any recommendations out there. And Dean's saying, would Nathan Asimwe not have been a better option to play on the right side of midfield to help out the right side of defence? Yeah, maybe. Andrew's saying, how much input will Appleton get into the players we sign? I mean, obviously the Andy Scott and his team will do the majority of it. You'd assume that Michael will get a certain level of input. I think that's been said, and they'll have to go through the manager. But obviously, it's a recruitment team, Sue, that we've had over the last few years, and clearly one that needs to be improved. You know, I mean, we did the scores on Thursday's show. If you look at the ones that have come in since the takeover, I think, or since Andy came, it was an average of, we gave him about 3 out of 10 for the signings we had. And that isn't always necessarily purely on the player. I mean, someone tweeted us yesterday that Chen was probably fired up because we said he hadn't been a good signing on Thursday's show. But the reason he hadn't been a good signing is because he ain't played, you know, and that's us as a club not making a good signing. There's no reflecting on Chen if he hasn't played. And, you know, he did well yesterday, but it's clear it has to be better. You know, I think I think Michael referenced that in something he said yesterday, that the recruitment has to be better overall based on the last few years. And I mean, that goes without saying, really, doesn't it? Because that's why we're mid-table League One, because the players we sign are mid-table League One players on the whole.
Yeah, and I think even, like, I know we've talked about loans before, where we had that mad little flurry right towards the end of the transfer window that we ended up getting loan players in, and probably one of the better ones isn't getting picked for whatever reason. in Louis. But I think it's, yeah, you've got to look at, like I've already said it, you've got to look at not just the ability, but the mindset and the attitude to be able to fight and have those games where yesterday, like, keep it at 2-0, like, fight for it. You haven't won at 2-0. Like, that mindset needs to change as a squad, but we need to get some stronger characters in because I think George and Alfie are carrying this team at the moment completely in terms of ability and mindset. And as someone already commented, George looked knackered yesterday. He was holding his leg. You worry, like, you take George out of the team, I just think we'd be hammered. But when you're recruiting, you've got to look at, we've got to get that experience in. We need to get, I know someone commented earlier, we won't sell Alfie because he's 30. If he's scoring 30 goals a season, people will pay money for him, believe me. So that's where you've got to protect the good ones we've already got and do your best to keep hold of them, but also bring in players that are going to work to those players' strengths and enhance what we've already got.
Sorry, excellent man. Stuff. Right. We've run out of time on this week's Charlton Live. A massive thank you to everyone who's joined us. Just a couple of reminders. Check out the merch store, charltonlive.etsy.com. I'm generally surprised by how many mugs we've sold in the build-up to Christmas. So make sure you get your hands on one of those. Also, have a look on our Twitter page in the next minute or so. We're launching a giveaway for some Charlton prints. Have a look on that. It's one of those where you retweet and you get a chance of winning a free print. So keep an eye on that. We've teamed up with an external company for that one. So have a look. Make sure you join us again on Thursday. I was going to say thanks to Paddy, but he didn't turn up, so no thanks to Paddy this morning. Hopefully we're getting on another show, because I'm sure he's got plenty to say as our guest fan. But yeah, massive thanks to everyone who's joined us in the chat or on the follow-up on your podcast or YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to us wherever we are. Sue and Tom, an absolute pleasure as always.
Cheers, both.
Thank you. Hope Mr. Angry feels a bit better now.
No, it doesn't look any better, if I'm being honest, but we'll see. Thanks to everyone then who's tuned in. I'm Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening. It has been Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you again on Thursday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.